Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial star star RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Don't worry, we're still going to play all the hits from the Dave Rothenberg Show. We'll have a little football frenzy for you today. And instead of Stomp Rothenberg, we're going to, whenever I do fill in for Dave, we switch it up, question marks. See what we did there? Question marks. And because I'm just not as smart as Dave Rothenberg, I need a lifeline. My lifeline is going to be the wonderful and fabulous Cynthia Freeland. So really, really stoked about that. She's going to be joining us around 10:30 this morning. And I spent a good 4 days in Indianapolis for the combine. She was there for the week. Not sure if she's still there or if she's back in LA. So we'll talk, we'll compare notes. Have not had a conversation with her in regard to all the little nuggets I left Indianapolis with. So, we will compare notes live right here on 98.7 ESPN and see if she got the same information I did while we were in Indianapolis. So she'll be joining us around 9:30, which means we'll do a Stomp Rothenberg / question marks at 10:45. You definitely want to stay tuned for that. We'll have a football frenzy coming your way. And then also, we're giving up, listen up, Knicks fans, the Women's Empowerment Night taking place on March 8th as the Knicks match up against the Pistons at the Garden. We'll celebrate women who are driving equality in sports and business at large and bringing awareness to the global recognition of International Women's Day. So keep listening because I'm going to be giving away 2 pairs of tickets throughout the show today, brought to you by the New York Knicks. Visit NewYorkKnicks.com for tickets today. So we're giving away 2 pairs of tickets, which, by the way, Nikki and Kyrie are working the show. They're producing the show on the opposite side of the glass. Kyrie's been involved in a Who Am I? Because the way that we're going to give away one pair of these tickets is through a Who Am I. But Nikki, this is going to be your first Who Am I.
Yes, I'm so excited.
You don't sound excited. That's not an excited.
I am so excited.
There you go. Yes, that's more of an exciting. I'm so excited. And so here's the thing. I let the producers decide whether or not they want to know who it is before we begin Who Am I. So Kyrie's like, I don't want to know. Nikki, you're like, I don't want to know. Neither of you want to know. Okay, that's fine. I think I've got a good one for you. So it's going to be a fast-moving show. We've got a lot going on and a lot of appointment radios, but hopefully you're with us for the entire 2 hours and 30 minutes. Why is the show cut off at 11:30? What are we going into? Are we going to Knicks, Rangers, what?
Islanders? We have a Islanders pregame, so it's going to be running a little bit longer than usual.
Okay, so we lead you straight into the Islanders game. And then, of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And that is an abbreviated show as well. Usually they extended my Sunday show for an hour. So I'm usually on for 4 hours from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Oh, my. How do we do it, Nikki? I don't know. How do we do it last week? I was really
hungry. Lots of caffeine. Mm-hmm. Oh, and breakfast.
I was, oh, yeah,
bacon and syrup.
I need to send that bill to Tim McCarthy every Sunday. Since he extended me an hour, he's going to treat us to breakfast every Sunday morning. So both today and tomorrow with you from 9 to 11:30. Let's dive right into it because I do want to talk heavy show NFL, heavy show XFL, getting you ready for week 4 of the XFL season. So stay tuned for that. I've got my plays, my picks for you. You know, I love to pat myself on the back whenever I'm right. But when I'm wrong, I tell you I'm wrong when I'm wrong, but I've been so right. I'm 13-3 in 3 weeks picking the XFL. Who am I? I have no idea. I don't know what's going on here, but I am crushing it, and I feel really, really good about my picks and my plays this week. So I'll have those for you as well. But let's kick it off with the Combine. 800-919-3776. You want to get in on the conversations. Now is the time to do so. So obviously a lot of talk about the quarterbacks. Because let's be honest, you know, that's everybody likes to talk about quarterbacks, whether it's veteran quarterbacks or the rookie quarterbacks, the college quarterbacks that are going to be coming out and that are eventually going to be drafted in late April. So we can sit here and we could say, hey, you know, with the Giants sitting at 4, We could sit here and we could talk about all the teams that are going to want to trade up with the Giants and go get a certain quarterback. Really, at the end of the day, we really don't know until the Tom Brady domino effect happens. Now, like I said, I was in Indianapolis for a good 4 days. On Tuesday, every general manager and every head coach spoke to the media. It was an insane day. Imagine you're in a small banquet room. It's the best way I can describe it. And every 15 minutes, all 32 teams, their head coach and their general manager are speaking to the media for 15 minutes. Now, you know, obviously, you don't want to show your cards. You don't want to play. You got a hand to play come late April. So, you know, can you believe everything you hear? No. But are there some things, can you pay attention to body language? Are there some things that you can take away from the general managers and the coaches and what they're saying to the media? I think so. So I purposely, because here's the thing, you can gamble on where Tom Brady's going to go. You could wager and gamble on where Phillip Rivers is going to go. There's a bet out there if Cam Newton is going to be the starting quarterback and take the first snap under center for the Carolina Panthers week one of the 2020 season. What a wonderful world we live in that you could gamble on all of that. And wait until I tell you what else is coming your way in regard to gambling within the next 3 to 5 years with the NFL. I found that out in Indianapolis. You're not going to believe it. So what did I walk away with? Okay, so here are the teams that are in the Tom Brady sweepstakes. Well, obviously, New England would love to have him back, but there's been no conversation there. And in speaking to the people who are in the know, people within the Patriots organization, they are leaning more towards Tom Brady not coming back to the Patriots than him coming back. So that's what me and a lot of folks who cover the NFL walked away with, that Brady more than likely is not going to return to the Patriots. So let's just say that that's factual and that happens. Okay. Where could Brady go? He's going to test the free agent market. He wants to feel wanted. He wants to feel needed. Apparently, Bill Belichick has not been appreciative of all that Tom Brady has done for the organization. Okay, that's their own problems. Where could Tom Brady go? Well, I've been saying Tennessee for how long now, guys? Two months?
2 months.
Yeah. 2 months, right? I've been screaming at the mountaintops, Tennessee, Tennessee, Tennessee. Why? Vrabel, ex-teammate of his, good defense. They're going to have to re-sign Derrick Henry. They've got some wide receiver talent. They've got depth at the tight end position. The only thing, I'm not sure in regard to their cap and what they can do if they could sign both offensive lineman Conklin and Derrick Henry. And we all know Tom Brady needs a good offensive line, okay? At this stage in the game, we know what time it is with Tommy. So I still feel that Tennessee is a very doable, very likely landing place for Tom Brady. Number two, Oakland Raiders. Oakland Raiders. I sat in, I listened to Mike Mayock talk. I'm going to play this clip. This is Mike Mayock talking about Derek Carr. Let's listen in.
We're going to evaluate every position every year, and if we can get better, we will. And if we can't, we won't. And so I tell the local media that every day when they ask me about this, and I mean that. Derek's playing at a high level, so what does common sense tell you? Common sense tells you there aren't very many human beings on this planet that can play at a higher level than him. If we can find one, awesome. But trust me, Derek's our guy.
Derek is our guy. For right now. I was sitting right there when Mike Mayock had this press conference with the media. And he was kind of on both sides of the coin. Derek is their guy right now, but if there is a guy out there that can come in and play better than Derek Carr, trust me, Oakland's going after him, and that guy's Tom Brady. Already been reported that they're willing to shell out $30 million a year the next 2 years for Tom Brady. On top of that, solid offensive line, Josh Jacobs rushing running back coming into his second year. If he didn't get injured, I think he would have won Rookie of the Year last year. Depth at wide receiver, stud tight end, and Oakland has the 12th pick, and a lot of people feel that they're going to select wide receiver Jerry Jeudy at 12. Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver from Alabama. So talent, money, an opportunity. Are you kidding me? If Tom Brady went and joined forces with Mike Mayock and Gruden, oh my God, those guys, they would be doing laps naked around Las Vegas. They would be thrilled to collaborate with Tom Brady. So talk about appreciation that apparently he doesn't get in New England with Bill Belichick. So that could be a landing spot. And last but not least, another landing spot could be the Los Angeles Chargers. Although, I'm not feeling it. After spending time and talking to a lot of people in the know, just not feeling the Chargers. I truly believe that it's going to come down to the Raiders or Tennessee. What are the odds right now? Tennessee plus 800, Raiders plus 300, Chargers plus 300. Patriots minus 270. So the wise guys in Vegas who set these lines still feel that Tom Brady is going to go back to New England. But I'm telling you, I don't think he is. Based on the time that I was in Indianapolis, the conversations I had, and every team that could be in the sweepstakes, not just for Tom Brady, but for a different, nobody's committed to their quarterback. Even though you just heard Mike Mayock say, Carr's our guy right now. Brady comes along, Carr's not your guy. I listen to the Bucks; they're not committed to Jameis Winston. I listen to Tennessee; they're not committed to Ryan Tannehill. So, every landing place, potential landing place for Tom Brady, teams were not. No one came out to that podium and said, "Yep, Carr's going to be our starting quarterback. Carr's going to take Jameis Winston's going to be our starting quarterback. Ryan Tannehill's going to be our starting quarterback." We're not even entertaining the thought of bringing in somebody else. Nobody said that. So with the combination of New England not feeling Brady will be back, Brady wanting to test out free agency, and these other teams that could be potential landing spots for him not totally being committed. It's like Winston, Tannehill, Carr, they're like, oh, that's door two. That's plan B. And if you're those quarterbacks, how does that make you feel? So, again, I feel pretty strongly that that Tom Brady is not going to return to the Patriots. When we get back, I'll share with you the odds on where Phillip Rivers is going to go. Also, Cam Newton returning to the Panthers or not. And then let's start talking about the draft. The Giants sitting at 4 in a really, really great spot. I'm curious, Giants fans, what would you like to see your Giants do? 800-919-3776. And there's some bets out there that you can lay down. You could lie down whether or not 4 or 5 quarterbacks are going to be taken in the first round. And what order will these rookie quarterbacks be taken? It might surprise you what my order is. And I'll have that for you when we get back. Anita Marks with you in for the Dave Rothenberg Hour. Nikki and Kyrie working the show, producing the show on the opposite side of the glass. We still have a football frenzy coming your way of who am I? A Stump Rothenberg / question mark. Cynthia Freeland's going to join us at 10:30. Jam-packed show. We're having some fun this morning on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
When players play for the Patriots, you go there and you play because it's your best chance to win a championship, but it's not a fun year. Like, that organization, Bill Belichick, it's not fun. It's just not fun. So anyway, Phillip Rivers, before we start talking about the draft, Phillip Rivers, where will he go? I think he's going to end up in Indianapolis. You can wager on that at plus 150. There's also the chance of him ending up in Tampa Bay. That's plus 100. Will Cam Newton be the Carolina Panthers starting quarterback week one? I believe that he will. You've got the head coach, the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers, who's saying that he wants Cam Newton to stay. So I wouldn't be surprised if Carolina has Cam Newton stay and is the quarterback week one of the 2020 season, but still goes out and drafts a quarterback for the future just to groom. I wouldn't be surprised about that. So where does Teddy Bridgewater go? Just to kind of give you an idea of the lay of the land in the teams that I feel are going to have new quarterbacks this year. The Miami Dolphins I think they draft a quarterback, okay? New England, I think they lose Brady. I think they're going to draft a quarterback, or maybe Andy Dalton would be available to them and come play for the Patriots. I know. Tom Brady to Andy Dalton. What are you going to do? Cincinnati, they for sure are drafting Joe Burrow. For sure. The Colts, I think that's where Rivers ends up. Tennessee, they're hoping to get Brady. If they can't, they go back to Tannehill. Carolina, again, I think Cam is their starting quarterback, but I would not be surprised if they draft a quarterback as well. The Bucks, I think they'd like to get another quarterback, whether it's Tom Brady, maybe it's Teddy Bridgewater. My money is that Teddy Bridgewater will end up with the Bucks. You can wager on that at plus 700. That's what I think happens there. Oakland, they're hoping they get Tom Brady. If not, then it's Derek Carr for another year. But also, if they don't get Tom Brady, I think they also draft for a quarterback. And the Chargers looking for Tom Brady as well. If they don't, I think they draft a quarterback. That's kind of how I see the landscape of the quarterback, the musical chairs that are being played. Also, which team will A.J. Green be playing for in week one? I think he sticks with the Bengals. Bengals, like I said, they're going to get Joe Burrow with the number one overall pick. You want to keep AJ Green in house. You're bringing in a rookie quarterback. You want to make sure that you align him with a stud wide receiver. Here's an interesting bet for you. Quarterback who's going to have the highest Wonderlic score. Justin Herbert, again, was in Indianapolis, and I'm told that Justin Herbert is a brainiac, like a geek, like Mensa, like uber smart. So my money is on Justin Herbert to have the highest Wonderlic score out of all the quarterbacks for plus 150. That's some good money right there. All right, so how do I see this quarterback situation playing out in regard to the draft? I do believe that there's going to be five quarterbacks that are going to be taken. Okay, number one is Burrow. I know that there was some talk and speculation that if he gets drafted by Cincinnati, he's not going to play there. From what I understand, they met on Tuesday night, Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, and the meeting went great. So I do expect them to draft Burrow. This is what he had to say to the media in regard to the speculation that if he does get drafted number one, he won't go to Cincinnati. Does he not want to be drafted number one?
Yeah, of course I want to be the first pick. You know, that's every kid's dream. You know, I've worked really, really hard for this opportunity, and I'm blessed to be in this position, and a lot of people helped me get here. So I'm just really excited to be in this place.
When asked if you got drafted by Cincinnati, would you not play?
Yeah, I'm not going to not play. I'm a ball player. Whoever picks me, I'm going to go show up.
Here's Todd McShay talking about who the Bengals need to take.
If I'm the Bengals, and I studied this past year, and you look at the development of Joe Burrow and how he handled, I mean, he went from basically a guy who couldn't even get on the field at Ohio State, transfers to LSU. He's a game manager. It's nice. It's cute. He's going to be there for a couple years. Hopefully they win 9-10 games, to winning the national championship, the Heisman Trophy, and being the best player in college football, and arguably having the best year of any quarterback in the history of college football. So what he did in handling all of that pressure in one year and the confidence that he has gained, if I'm the Bengals, this is my guy.
It is their guy. So again, Burrow to the Cincinnati Bengals at one. Bank it. Chase Young to the Washington Redskins at two. Here's Chase Young talking to the media.
I definitely think I'm the best player in the draft. I think I showed it on my tape. You can go to every game. I think I showed it. And, you know, I definitely think I put my best foot forward this year. I grinded hard. Two of my biggest things are hard work and dedication, and I'm going to bring those two to the NFL with me.
I had an opportunity. I spent like an hour with Chase Young's agent while I was in Indianapolis, and he confirmed with me that Washington loves him, is going to take him at two. And thank you very much, Giants, for beating the Washington Redskins and just handed Chase Young to them on a silver platter. Listen, I'm still ticked off about it. Chase Young is the best player in this draft. He, regardless, Joe Burrow's going number one. Yeah, because he's a quarterback, and that's what Cincinnati needs. But Chase Young is the pretty much, and I get it. We can sit here and argue like, oh, that was a great game for Daniel Jones to win, and what are teams going to do? Purposely lose? Yeah, you know what? Believe it or not, there are teams that purposely lose for this. So now the Giants are sitting at four, and you don't think they'd love to have Chase Young fall in their lap? Are you kidding me? But no, because it was more important for Daniel Jones to beat the Washington Redskins and toss four touchdowns, so he felt really good about himself the next day. Just dumb. I'm sorry. Just I can't. I'm gonna move on here because it upsets me so much. So the draft doesn't really start until the third pick. Who has the third pick? Detroit. What's Detroit gonna do? Now, from what I understand, even though Matthew Stafford has a bad back, from what I understand, Detroit is looking to trade down. They're going to look for a defensive player, but they're looking to trade down. Who are the teams that very well could trade up? The Dolphins. The Dolphins are at 5. Why am I clapping? The Dolphins are at 5. The Chargers are at 6. Carolina is at 7. Depending on what happens with Tom Brady and the Oakland Raiders, they're at 12. I think that's a little too far down for Detroit to trade down. I think it will either be the Dolphins, the Chargers, or Carolina. You also have the Bucks at 14. And depending on what happens, the Patriots at 23. As much as I love Jared Stidham, from what I understand, the Patriots are they're worried about his health. Not that he's injured right now, but they're worried that he's not going to be able to stay healthy, the longevity of his career. And also, I'm being told that he's just not ready. So, as much as I love Jared Stidham, it doesn't sound like the Patriots love him as much as I do. They look at him as a backup quarterback, not a starting quarterback. So, if they lose Brady, the Patriots could be in the market for a quarterback. Okay, so those are the teams that are trading partners for not just the Detroit Lions, but also for the Giants. So Detroit's looking to trade. The Giants are looking to trade. Now, everybody believes that Tua is going to be the second quarterback taken off the board. Okay, here's Tua on SportsCenter earlier this week.
I think it'd be an awesome opportunity for me to be able to learn from a veteran, regardless of whatever team I go to. It'd be awesome to be able to learn how they go about preparing for a game, what their week looks like, how they practice, how they see film, things of that aspect where a rookie would struggle.
So everyone's expecting Tua to be the second quarterback taken. Here's Mel Kiper talking about what Washington should do with Tua.
If the medical staff clears him, you take Tua too. There's no doubt about that. You take Tua. You don't trade the pick. You don't take Chase Young. You take Tua. And hey, if Haskins turns out to be better, then great. Then we can trade Tua. Okay? There's nothing wrong with it. We're not saying we're dumping Haskins. We're forgetting about Dwayne Haskins. We're giving up on Haskins. Let him battle it out.
Here's the thing. In my time in Indy, speaking to a number of people in the know, Tua is a huge red flag in regard to medical issues. Yes, his hip has recovered fine, but will there be a problem moving forward? His ankle, he had a kind of like an unorthodox treatment to the ankle. Teams don't like that. There's some speculation out there that he's got a leg issue. So there are a number of teams that I spoke to that said that Tua is not even on their board. So I don't believe Tua is going to be the number two quarterback taken. I think Herbert is going to be the number two quarterback taken. He crushed his workout. From what I understand, he's killing his interviews. He's uber intelligent. He's going to crush the Wonderlic. The biggest knock on Herbert is lack of anticipation. He throws the ball when the wide receiver is open. He doesn't throw the ball anticipating the wide receiver to be open. That is the biggest knock on Herbert. I still believe that he will be the number two quarterback taken. I still don't think Tua is going to be the third. I think Jordan Love. Everyone is in love with Love. They love the athleticism. They love the strong arm. They're looking at the Lamar Jacksons and the Deshaun Watsons and the quarterbacks that now are kind of changing the landscape of the NFL, and they see that in Jordan Love. So I think Love is the third quarterback taken in this draft. And then I do believe that there will be a team that will take a chance on Tua. But because he has such red flags in regard to medical, I don't believe Tua goes in the top 10. I just don't. And last but not least, Jason Eason, quarterback from Washington. I do believe that he goes in the first round, late in the first round. So I'm saying over 4.5 quarterbacks will be taken in the first round. I know it's only happened twice in the last, 20 years? but I do believe that all five quarterbacks will be taken in my order: Burrow, Herbert, Love, Tua, and Eason. And I do believe Detroit will trade down. What will the Giants do? The Giants have some decisions here. At four, the Giants, a lot of people feel that Isaiah Simmons, a linebacker from Clemson, is the second best player in this draft. Okay? Can the Giants get him at four? They can. Will they? Who knows? Will they go defense because their defense was god-awful? Was it because of their talent or was it because of their defensive coordinator? Big question mark there. I do believe for a while I thought that they were going to go offensive lineman. I just don't think the offensive lineman, I don't believe an offensive lineman is going to be taken in the top 10. And I don't think the Giants want to trade down past Carolina at seven. So if they're sticking to true form and taking the best player on the board, I think it'll either be Simmons, it'll be one of the stud corners, Okuda or Henderson. Some people want to say Jerry Jeudy because he reminds a lot of people of Odell Beckham Jr. I don't see it. So I think the Giants take a stud defensive player, whether it's the linebacker or one of the stud corners at four, or they trade down. And they hope that one of these guys drop to them somewhere between five, six, and seven. That's what I see the Giants doing. Okay? 800-919-3776. By the way, we are giving away a pair of tickets to the Women's Empowerment Night taking place on March 8th as the Knicks match up against the Pistons at the Garden. Celebrate women who are driving equality in sports and business at large and bring awareness to the global recognition of International Women's Day. So when we get back, we're going to play a little Who Am I? Nikki's first time playing Who Am I? So get on board now, 800-919-3776. How does it work? I have a certain individual. It could be a player. It could be a coach. Somebody who's relevant in regard to, like, if you listen to Sports Talk Radio, you have heard this person's name at least once this week. So it's somebody who is relevant this week. And I'm going to give you three hints as to who that person is. First person to call in and answer and tell us who that individual is, who am I? Get it? You are winner, winner, chicken dinner, winner, winner, Knicks tickets. If the first caller calls in and doesn't get it answered correctly, we go to the next caller, and the next caller gets another hint. And these hints are kind of off the beaten path. So that's where this gets fun. And you might learn something new about this individual.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
So this is usually Dave Rothenberg's time slot. I'm in it today, so we switch it up, and instead of Stump Rothenberg, it's called Question Marks. And I am nowhere as wise as Dave Rothenberg. Cynthia, do you know this? Dave Rothenberg has, like, the brain of an elephant. It's like he...
Oh, I've listened to it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, is he Google? Is he providing Google search results? I think he might be.
Yeah. Actually, Google should sponsor this segment,
to be quite frank,
because he is. He's like Google himself. So I'm just not as wise, and my friend Cynthia Freeland is extremely brilliant, so she's been so kind to help me out with this segment. So are you ready?
I was born ready, Anita. Let's do this.
Hey, guys, how about we do this as well? Because we've got another pair of tickets for the Women's Empowerment Night, March 8th, for the Knicks. How about the first person to stump us gets the tickets? Does that sound good? Okay. All right,
sounds
here we
good
go.
To me.
Here we go. First guy is Mitch. Mitch, welcome in. What's your question?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good morning.
Okay. Yeah, good morning, too. He was on a TV show. He's a Hall of Fame football player, playing basically in the 50s. He's in one of the episodes of The Munsters, with the great Fred Women, the beautiful Yvonne DiCarlo. You let me know. Is that enough, or you want more hints?
So he's a football player who played in the 50s?
Right. He's a Hall of Fame in the NFL and also the college football, also in college.
And he was in an episode of the Munsters.
Right, towards the end.
Oh.
He gets hit in the head with the football.
You know what?
What?
I feel like...
You feel like...
I'm trying to even think about... I feel like I'm
You feel like you know it?
Football players. No. I feel like... Sheesh. Okay.
Bart Starr? Okay. That's not my answer, Mitch.
Basically, he played wide receiver.
Played wide receiver in the 50s? Who's that Colts wide receiver? Yeah, Mitch, you're going to the Knicks game on March.
You're definitely.
You're going to the. Who is it, Mitch?
Crazy Legs Hirsch.
Oh, Elroy Hirsch. I should have known that. Actually, you're right. I'm sorry.
Damn you, Cynthia. Damn you. What good are you?
I know his first name because it's Elroy. That's the only reason. Yes, for sure.
All right, Mitch. I'm putting you on hold so Kyrie can get your information.
Good job, Mitch. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Enjoy the Knicks game on March 8th. All right, let's go to Jake. Jake, you're up.
Hey, so I'm actually I was gonna go with a baseball question, but since you're both football
gals, football gals, you can go with football gals.
Football gals. All right. So the Jets and Giants have played 14 times in the regular season, and only one time their quarterbacks were the same number, the starting quarterbacks. So who were they?
Ooh. Well, I want to say what Eli Manning wore number 10. So is there a Jets quarterback that wore number Eli Manning and Chad Pennington, maybe, Cynthia?
That sounds right to me.
That's what we're going with, Jake.
That sounds right to me too.
Wow.
That was a good question, though.
Oh, man. How about that? I got one right. Cynthia, I never get these right. Cynthia, never, ever, ever get these right.
I never get them right either.
I can't believe I knew that. Man, that's like, that's an extra Bloody Mary this morning after the show.
I like how you reason through it, though. I like how you reason through it, you know?
Well, I'm not, here's the thing. You know me, I'm a team player. I'm not going to give an answer until I come back to you and say, Cynthia, what do you think?
Yeah, you were right. You were totally right.
All right, let's go to John in Queens. John, you're up.
Oh, good morning, ladies. How are you today?
Good morning.
So I didn't realize that Dave was out. So this question is a movie question, and it's frankly brutal. So,
how about John? How about I put you on hold? We come back to you, and you don't make it so brutal.
I'll tell you what. I have a less brutal question, though.
Okay.
So this is Academy Awards. What's the longest movie title for a movie that won Best Picture?
Okay. All right. Hold on. I think Best Picture titles.
Did A River Runs Through It win?
That I don't know, but that's not the answer.
There's like, it's like, I think I've like heard this on something else before, so I'm trying to remember, like, gosh.
You live out in LA, you should know this.
Okay. It's like night, day, left, right, up, down. What is it? Help us.
We don't know, John.
The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
All right. Let's go to Gerard in Brooklyn.
Good job.
You're up.
Yes, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Yes, okay. I got a question. I saw this on ESPN this morning. I thought it was a great idea.
Okay.
Being that it's leap year.
Oh, so that's right. Said, today's leap year, right?
Yeah. So they said, the question is, who's the first NFL player to leap into the stands after a touchdown?
So it had to be I would imagine that it was a Packers player, right? Right, Cynthia?
Pretty good.
So,
that sounds good.
So when did they start leaping? When did the Lambo leap? Like, give me some old-time Packers players.
I definitely like the way that you're reasoning through this.
Give me some wide receivers. Give me some Packer wide receivers, because they're divas. They're the ones who like to leap.
I mean, it can't be too old because they didn't have like TV then, right?
Give me who was Brett Favre's, like when Brett Favre first got to the Green Bay Packers, like what were some of his wide receivers that?
I mean, I'm trying, look, the one that comes to mind, I think the last name. Honestly, you know what? I know something about this. It's not a wide receiver.
Okay.
It's a defensive player. Because I remember that I was like, how is it not a wide receiver? I honestly think it's...
You're on to something, Cynthia. You're on to something.
But you don't know who...
It's not Reggie White. It was someone who was with Reggie White. Because I remember... Because we have James Jones on the NFL Network, and he says most people think that it was like, what, Brooks, or I can't remember his first name, but Brooks, the wide receiver that was the first one to do it. But realistically, it was like a corner or safety whose name is escaping me.
Gerard, do we at least do it?
You want the initials?
No. Do you want the initials, Cynthia?
I do because I feel like I know the answer to this.
Okay, what are the initials, Gerard?
The initials are L and B.
It's Leroy Butler.
Yeah, there you go.
Woo! Gerard, thank you. Thank you for the initials. That did it. Let's go.
That was a good one.
That's good.
The initials got it because I could not remember his name to save my life, but it's a safety, not a corner.
You know what's funny is like we sat here and we saw you connect the dots. Like we saw the gerbil racing.
People smell smoke. Like it was like something's on fire.
That was pretty cool. Let's go to Chris in Bethpage. Chris, you're up.
Hey, ladies. By the way, Anita, I was your lifeline that won the Seabound meet that time. on question mark.
I love it.
Nice.
Anyhow, okay. In the history of the Super Bowl, only one team had won four games or less the year before and then won the Super Bowl the following year. It's only happened one time. They won four or less games in one year and then came back and won the Super Bowl the following year. Who's that team?
This is you, Cynthia.
Four or less. Hold on.
Four or less.
And Cynthia, the reason I'm bringing it up is because it almost happened this year with the 49ers. Had they won, they would have been the second team to do it.
God. Okay. Was it? Hold on. I feel like I should know the answer to that.
Chris, do me a favor. What? Give us a decade.
All right. Okay, I'll put it to you this way. It happened within the last, let's say, 23 years. It happened within the last 23 years. Without being too specific, because it wasn't 23 years ago, but it happened within the last 23 years. And I'll give you a big hint. It happened because what happened is the one year they had a quarterback, this team, and then he got injured. And then the new guy came in out of nowhere and led them to the Super Bowl.
I think it's the Patriots, but I don't know. I'm not gonna.
All right. Well,
that's a good guess. That's a good guess because it was a situation like that. I'll tell you what it was. It was Trent Green got hurt for the L.A. Rams, and they were terrible. The St. Louis Rams, they were terrible. He got hurt. So they brought in this unknown guy in 1999 named Kurt Warner, and he led them to the Super Bowl.
My co-worker!
Your co-worker, Cynthia. What is wrong with you?
Listen, they're making a movie about his life. I'll know the answer to that after his movie comes out.
All right, we're gonna do one more, okay? One more. Nick in White Plains.
Let's go.
What you got?
Yes, Anita.
Yeah.
Who was the backup? Who was the backup quarterback for the Giants in Super Bowl 25?
Super Bowl 25.
I know who played in Super Bowl 25. The Bills and the Giants, obviously.
Okay. So Phil Simms started. But Phil Simms started, right?
No, Jeff Hostetter started. Phil Simms was hurt.
Oh, so was Phil Simms the backup?
No.
It was Jeff.
He was hurt. He couldn't play.
Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett?
No.
Who is it?
Matt Cavanaugh.
Really? I've never gotten that.
Yeah.
Good job.
Okay. And here's what's amazing is that probably Dave Rothenberg would have gotten all these right. And you, I mean,
without a doubt.
And you're probably one of the most brilliant women I know, and we're sitting here, we're struggling with this. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. This has been Stump Rothenberg, a.k.a. Question Marks, brought to you by the Law Offices of Andrew M. Cohen. Whether the issue is simple or complex, the Law Offices of Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your needs through careful legal planning. Call 516-877-0595 or visit amcohenlaw.com. We come back, Cynthia Freeland and I, we would compare notes of our week in Indianapolis for the Combine. You definitely want to stay tuned for that next, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
You guys see how much he's banking.
He's doing well.
If you haven't heard this, CBS, and keep in mind, I'm sure there were a number of networks that were battling it out for Tony Romo's services. CBS confirmed on Friday, the New York Post actually confirmed on Friday, that Tony Romo will make $17 million per year. And apparently the deal is longer than, it's a significant deal. It's longer than 5 years. $17 million Tony Romo is going to be making a year to call football games. Boy, God bless. God bless. I tell you, that is just, oh, it's good to be king. All right, let's talk about the XFL and what's going on. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, you've got a game right here in New York City. Hopefully, not sure what your plans are today. Hopefully, if you're heading out, tell Kevin Gilbride I said hello. Very, very worried about this team. They're just not doing extremely well. And unfortunately, Matt McGloin, their quarterback, not a big fan. Dude's a drama queen. Don't like it. So a lot of dysfunction going on with the Guardians, which is not a good thing. They having a hard time converting on third down, only averaging 11 points a game, but they are home and they are hosting the LA Wildcats. Now, the LA Wildcats took it to the DC Defenders last week, but that was in LA. Now this team has to travel cross country, and they don't have like the bougie planes like the NFL players do. Keep that in mind. They have to travel cross country. Now they're playing here in New York. It's cold out. Windy. If you've been to MetLife Stadium or over there, you know how windy it is, even more so at the stadium. I think the weather is going to play a role. The travel is going to play a role. So how am I playing this? I'm playing the under here. You can get this at under 39.5. The spread is LA -7.5, -8 in some places. I think this game is going to be a lot closer than what most people think. So I'm staying away from the spread. I'm staying away from it. My play in this game is under 39.5 points for the Guardians hosting the Wildcats today at MetLife Stadium. And kickoff is at 2 o'clock, just FYI. Game number 2 today kicks off at 5 o'clock. It's the Seattle Dragons at the St. Louis Battlehawks. The over-under in this is 38.5. Seattle is favored by 11.5 in some places. I wouldn't be surprised by the time kickoff comes that that line will move up to 12. Don't be surprised. Why? This is a St. Louis team that is playing great football. They run the football. They're averaging over 150 yards per game with Matt Jones and Christian Michael. Both of them had a cup of coffee in the NFL. They've got a 60% rushing rate, number one in the NFL. They average about 70 plays a game, number two in the NFL. And when you're able to do that, it really makes things a lot easier for their quarterback, Jordan Ta'amu. He's got a 76% completion percentage. They're putting up about 23 points per game. So I love the St. Louis team, the St. Louis Battlehawks. Now, they are home. Keep in mind, the Rams said hasta la vista. They went to the West Coast to, of course, become the Los Angeles Rams. And now you've got a rabid fan base that now has taken over their dome. This team is averaging 30 to 40,000 fans a game. Could you imagine in an XFL game? It's unbelievable. It's unheard of. So they've got home field advantage. They run the football well. Their quarterback, 76% completion percentage. Defensively, they're only allowing 15 points a game, number one in the XFL. Their defense has 8 sacks on the season. The only thing they struggle at is PAT. and they've got, oh, they have an 11% success rate. That's it. It's worse than the XFL. They correct that, forget about it. So I, this is my best play. This is my best play of the weekend. St. Louis minus 11, minus 11 and a half in some places at home, going up against Seattle. This is a league that you live and die by your quarterback play, and Seattle has the worst quarterback on their roster, Brandon Silvers. 54% completion percentage. Unless Warren Moon is going to come out of retirement and play for Seattle, no bueno. They do have a backup in JB Daniels, but for whatever reason, he's more mobile. I don't know why they haven't gone to him. And they're allowing 21 points per game, which is a fifth worst in the XFL. And they're on the road. So Seattle having to travel to St. Louis. And like I said, huge home field advantage in the dome. So this is my best play of the weekend. Love me some St. Louis Battlehawks for minus 11 to minus 11 and a half.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.